The reading from the Acts of the Apostles. As Peter reached the house, Cornelius went out to meet him, knelt at his feet, and prostrated himself. But Peter helped him up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man after all." Then Peter addressed him. "The truth I have now come to realize," he said, "is that God does not have favorites, but that anybody of any nationality who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all the listeners. Jewish believers who had accompanied Peter were all astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit should be poured out on the pagans too, since they could hear them speaking strange languages and proclaiming the greatness of God. Peter himself then said, "Could anyone refuse the water of baptism to these people, now they have received the Holy Spirit just as much as we have?" He then gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, they begged him to stay on for some days. And our second reading is from the first letter of St. John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. "My dear people, let us love one another, since love comes from God. And everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Anyone who fails to love can never have known God, because God is love. God's love for us was revealed when God sent into the world his only Son, so that we could have life through him. This is the love I mean, not our love for God, but God's love for us, when he sent his Son to be the sacrifice that takes our sins away." And now our Gospel reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 9 to 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I have loved you. A man can have no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I shall not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know his master's business. I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have learnt from my Father. You did not choose me, no, I chose you. And I commissioned you to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then the Father will give you anything you ask him in my name. What I command you is to love one another." And now our homily reflection for the readings for this sixth Sunday of Easter, Year B. I was once told that the problem with the Irish, I'm Irish descent myself, was that, to quote, "you never had the Pax Romana." That is, we Irish are still a squabbling tribal people. The Pax Romana, I found out, was apparently a policy used by the Roman Empire to break down existing tribal allegiances and to cement a new allegiance, namely to the state. The many often wrangling factions were meant to become an integral part of a new reality, the empire. And this policy was implemented by the good old stick and carrot approach that we're familiar with. In our modern world, one could add to this notion perhaps the notion of national loyalty, or loyalty to one's firm, perhaps loyalty to one's club, or even one's salary package. These mark our various relationships, but they also mark our divisions and our areas of competition. Thus, my club beats your club. My firm is in competition with your firm. So they divide us as much they unite us perhaps even more. And it's interesting to note that people coming from traditional tribal societies often comment on how weak our family and community ties seem to be in the West, how individualistic and how competitive we are. So modern Western states tend to see traditional tribal groups as sources of division and conflict, and they see things completely in the reverse way. There's something paradoxical about how the very things that we seek to bind us together tend to drive us apart. The root of this lies, I think, in an inescapable fact of our nature, namely difference. After all, being a member of this family means that I'm not a member of that one, and so on. The problem is that we quirky and flawed human beings attempted to turn nature into a vehicle of self-advancement at the expense of the other person or the other group. So belonging to this family makes me better than that one. And the same temptation operates at the level of clans, tribes, nations, business companies. Difference is erected into a barrier that excludes. And we tend to justify this. For example, we dignify the elimination of a rival business by calling it healthy competition. The gospel claim is that it is only when Jesus becomes the center of our lives that all these other relationships are able to find their proper function and context, namely family, tribe, nation, club, company, etc. Jesus doesn't come to destroy these relationships, but to remove the barriers that we erect in their name. Grace builds on nature. It's an old theological principle. It doesn't replace it with another superhuman nature. A fundamental difference between the family of Jesus, the disciples, and any other family or community is that it doesn't depend on birth, race, geography, time, money, or institution. It is a community that we are invited to join by a loving God who accepts us as we are. As the first letter of John for today says, "This is the love I mean, not our love for God, but God's love for us." We can only love, that is, form genuine relationships, because God has first loved us. Our love may, and often does, fail, but God's love, we believe, does not. Hence, everyone who believes in Jesus as God's Son has received the gift of God's love and is thereby able to love as God loves. Our reading from the Acts of the Apostles offers a powerful example of how this love, here in the form of the Holy Spirit, is able to break down the barriers between race and religion, between Jew and Gentile. As Peter says, "The truth that I now have come to realize is that God does not have favorites, but that anybody of any nationality who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him." This scene in Acts complements very nicely the earlier one at Pentecost, where Luke says that all those assembled heard the word of God in their own language. This indicates that Christianity doesn't have a favored or sacred language. Or, if you want to put this another way, all languages are sacred. And so another barrier that can lead to exclusion and a sense of superiority comes tumbling down. An important factor in Peter's proclamation to Cornelius, in our reading, is his awareness that being a disciple of Christ does not make him superior to others, but the servant of others. "He will not have Cornelius pay him homage. I'm only a man after all," he says. But if Peter rightly sees himself as a servant of others and not their master, the gospel offers another angle on the community of Jesus that turns the old master-servant relationship on its head, as the Bible so often loves to do. In John chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus says to the disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. But this perfect teacher is able to become the perfect servant, as he demonstrates in the way he serves the Father and lays down his life in the service of all. But a key goal of Jesus' service is to create a new relationship between himself and ourselves that is something more than being his and God's servants. In the household of God, there is no master-servant relationship in the way that we tend to think of it. Rather, as our gospel reading says, we are now friends of Jesus, friends who can be entrusted completely with the most intimate knowledge that Jesus shares with the Father. In this family, there are no secrets. We are commissioned to share this friendship with others, people who are quite different to us, who belong to different families, speak different languages, come from different tribes and different nations. But rather than barriers that divide, these differences are now things to rejoice in, because once based on a relationship with Jesus, each difference reveals the presence of God's love in a unique way. To borrow an image from Paul, the different stones are able to be placed in exactly the right spot in the house of God, because each one has been chosen and shaped by the master stonemason.